May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have 12 baskets of crumbs left over. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. On Thursday, the church remembered Jesus' ascension into heaven. Ascension Day is one of the major feasts of the Christian year. But it also happened on the 40th day after Easter. And so Ascension Day always falls midweek. Most people don't come to church midweek, and so the custom is to delay celebrating Ascension Day until the next Sunday. So today we should be doing Ascension Day, but here we are celebrating Mother's Day. We've done this for the last 3 years. And some have quite rightly asked whether this isn't a sign that our priorities are wrong. We appear to be demoting a major Christian feast while promoting what some perceive to be simply a secular Hallmark holiday. So in celebrating Mother's Day today, have we just succumbed to the pressure of another modern, popularist, secularizing influence? It's a fair question. Nevertheless, I want to make the case for unashamedly bringing Mother's Day into the church. I think Mother's Day ought to be more than just a day for bringing Mom breakfast in bed and calling Ram to send her flowers. I want to make the case for Mother's Day being a sanctified day. A holy day, which should be celebrated in church. And I believe the foundation of that case is laid in the fifth commandment, that we should honor our mother and our father. But first, let's be clear what Mother's Day was originally intended to be. When in 1914 President Woodrow Wilson signed the measure to officially establish Mother's Day, it was not intended to be a day on which to honor motherhood in general. Nor was it intended to be the day on which Dad and the kids in a Cleaver family would have treats for the woman who was mom. It was intended to be the day on which everyone honored the one woman who had given them life. The woman without whom they would not exist. That person may still be alive, or she may be dead. You may be with her, or you may be far away from her. But no matter what the circumstance may be, Mother's Day was a day set aside to acknowledge what is surely the most profound thing for which we can be grateful. My mother, who gave birth to me. Let me talk briefly about the fifth commandment, that we should honor our father and our mother. The day that Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments in his hand was the day on which Israel finally became a nation with an identity of its own. Before that, it was just a collection of tribes descended from Abraham. You can compare Israel to the United States. The United States became a nation when it adopted its constitution. The Ten Commandments are for Israel what the Constitution is for the United States. Just like the Constitution, the Ten Commandments weren't a set of laws. Instead, they were founding principles. They were the values that set Israel aside from the other nations of its day. And most importantly, Israel believed that their founding principles had come directly from God. So as they followed the Ten Commandments individually and communally, they would live the life not just of any nation, but of a holy nation. So for Israel, the commandment to honor father and mother was not a mere human invention. It was commanded by God himself, and it was a required component of a holy life. And that is true for us too. A required commandment of a holy life that we honor our father and our mother. Unfortunately, the words of the commandment are so familiar to us that we miss its profound implications. Honor your father and your mother. When Israel heard that commandment, and it was made part of their national identity, it was truly revolutionary. It was a complete innovation. It was a concept that had never been heard before. It set Israel apart from the culture of Egypt, which they had just left, and it set them apart from the culture of Cana, which they were about to inherit. The duty of honor, the fifth commandment says, is owed both to father and to mother. The cultures of that day would have understood honoring fathers, but they would never have dreamed of honoring mothers. But God had decreed that things would be different in this new, holy Jewish nation. Both were to be honored, and equally so. That was God's way for his people. The fifth commandment also makes it clear that the duty to honor your father and mother is absolute and completely unconditional. You are to honor them whether you think them worthy of honor or not. And again, this was a revolutionary concept. It completely upended the accepted values of society. Society promotes the idea that those that we should honor are the kings, and the queens, the rich, the famous, the heroes, the wise, the powerful, those who have earned the right to be honored. The fifth commandment says, no. Honor your father and your mother, and for no other reason than that they are your father and your mother. They gave you life. And no one else can offer you a gift more precious than that. If everyone would follow that precept, I think it would solve so many of our social ills. It would be such a powerful disincentive to those who seek to promote themselves and presume to suppose that they should be honored by others. How much evil could be avoided if the accepted social norm was that the first and only binding claim for our honor was reserved for our parents. I'm going to hear a sigh of relief. The fifth commandment does not say, obey your parents. My mother tried to tell me it did, and I bet your mother did the same thing. And the fifth commandment does not even say love or even admire your parents. It says honor your parents. When you honor someone, you elevate them above yourself. Loving and admiring go with the grain. You're led there by your heart. Honoring, though, is not naturally congenial. It can very much go against the grain. It requires sometimes an act of the will. Sometimes the commandment to honor is going to make you do something that does not come naturally. It makes us say that we are not the equal of our parents. It makes us smaller. It requires us to swallow our pride and look up to them with deferential respect. It makes us humble ourselves in front of our parents. And in that regard, honoring your parents is a school of godliness. Learning deferential respect for parents teaches us the reverence that we should feel before God. Learning that we owe our lives to our parents is a gateway to understanding that we owe everything to God. If we can't learn the lesson of a humble heart before our parents, it's hard to know how we could learn the lesson of a humble heart before God. Lastly, the fifth commandment doesn't tell us how to honor our parents. It simply says, honor them. And by doing that, it invites us to be reflective and creative about how we go about honoring our parents. There is no one way to honor your father and your mother. There's no formula for honoring your father and your mother. The more earnest we are in our efforts to honor them, the more reflective and the more creative we are, the more we realize how far our efforts fall short of ever repaying them for what they have given us. And in that, too, there is a school for godliness. The saints are those who fully understand that in front of God, they truly have nothing to offer. But in spite of that, they strive to please him. The fifth commandment is the only one that comes with a carrot, not a stick. It's not couched in the negative. It's not a thou shalt not or else. It's offered with an incentive. Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's a suggestion in that in this commandment lies the formula for a happy life. And surely that is true. Honoring father and mother is fundamental to remembering that all we have is a gift. We did not make ourselves. It's a pathway to learning how to humble ourselves. It teaches us to get on our knees. It's a reminder that we should never feel inferior or inadequate before anyone except mom and dad. And it invites us to live lives that are openly creative, to finding the ways to honor our parents and to honor God. And those, I hope, are plenty of reasons for bringing Mother's Day into church. Amen.